We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Drive, pretty quick.
Giddy keeps it himself and takes it up as he glides with the finger roll.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Uncontested Postgame Podcast Edition. I'm your host for tonight, Justin. As the Thunder come back to beat the San Antonio Spurs 119-111. I want to let you know that we are proudly part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and DailyThunder.com. If you don't already, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and TikTok. What a game. What a comeback win for the Thunder tonight over the Spurs. A game in which neither team were at full strength. A game in which things got very strange at different points. A game in which you wondered who would be the player to step up for Oklahoma City. A game in which you wondered who could out-tank the other team. We have answers to all of those questions coming off of this game tonight. I'm very, very thrilled that you're here with us, whether you're listening in podcast form or in the live stream. If you were at the game tonight in person, the Paycom Center was hopping. The energy was there. The team was fun. The game was fun. There was a lot to break down. So let's dive in. 5 takeaways from tonight's comeback victory for the Thunder over the Spurs. Number one, a tale of two halves. Number two, J-Dub's career night. I already have multiple people in the chat on the live stream that just say, J-Dub. J-Dub's career night. Point number two. Takeaway number three, Trigger Trey. Takeaway number four, next man up. And five, the Baisley effect. Before we dive into all of those, let's do a high-level game summary. Ready? First half bad, second half good. So let's break that down a little bit more. Takeaway number one, a tale of two halves. Oklahoma City tonight looked like garbage in the first half. The San Antonio Spurs are the 29th ranked offense in the NBA. You may note there are 30 teams in the NBA. The San Antonio Spurs are statistically the second worst offense in the NBA. Tonight, Oklahoma City made them look a little better in the first half. In the first half tonight, San Antonio scores 77 points. 77 points. Yikes, dog. Oklahoma City scores 60, which is not bad, but they give up 77 points. The first half defense was non-existent. Absolutely non-existent. Embarrassing stuff, quite frankly. The effort was not there. Oklahoma City, it wasn't really like San Antonio was doing anything interesting. They shot 18 of 21 in the paint. That's a very high number. I know a guy named Chet Holmgren who maybe could have done something with that. They shot 44% from behind the arc. They only took 3 mid-range shots. So they were cooking from behind the arc, and they were getting whatever they wanted inside. Oklahoma City offered little to no resistance. And listen, I get it. OKC didn't have Shea. I mentioned at the top, neither team at full strength, as the Spurs did not have Poeltl available tonight. But not great, Bob.gif, for the Thunder defense in the first half. But the good news is they don't call the game at halftime. This is a tale of two halves for a reason. Oklahoma City, after giving up 77 points in the first half, gives up 34 points in the entire second half, which is a season low for the Thunder defense on the year per Thunder PR. 34 points in the second half, you may note, is 1 point less than the Thunder scored in, or than the Spurs scored in the first quarter. It is also 8 points less than they scored in the second quarter. So both of the first two quarters for the Spurs, they scored more points than they did in the entire second half. Oklahoma City's defense was night and day. Daigneault was asked post game, like just now, as to what the difference was in the second half on defense, what, you know, adjustments they made. And he basically said that they cared more. They were trying harder. They gave a crap. And I think that showed itself. The team was more locked in. It was really interesting, you know, in the first half when the Thunder defense looked mostly non-existent, chatting with Jacob in our uncontested group chat and discussing a little bit about the Thunder defense. They had a really hot start to the year, right? Everybody was talking about the discipline on defense, how good they looked. It was a small-ish sample size, maybe first 6, 7, 8 games. Oklahoma City was like a top 10 defense. Since then, they're like 24th in the league, not counting tonight, but like 24th in the league. They've become a very average defensive team outside of the initial start to the season. Something to keep an eye on. You know, it's still a somewhat small sample size. We're only 22 games into this season. There's a long way to go. A lot can change. But the recent trend, say the last 15 games or so, not encouraging for Oklahoma City on the defensive end of the floor. One thing that is interesting to note with the defensive performance tonight that we'll get into more so later is Darius Bazley. Bazley did not play at all in the first half. He was the only healthy, active Thunder player who did not log minutes in the first half. He came in the second half, and I think he made an impact on defense. We'll break that down more so, but I think when you're talking the tale of two halves, you can't ignore the only man who didn't play in one half and played in the other. Next up, takeaway number 2, J-Dub's career night. Burying the lead, the thing you're all here for. Like I said, multiple comments in the chat already. J-Dub, take a bow. You wondered, coming into this game, Shea is out. Who's stepping up? Whose night is it? Whose opportunity is waiting for them in this game? And J-Dub said, mine. J-Dub tonight, 27 points. 11 of 15 shooting, 2 of 3 from behind the arc, 3 of 5 from the line, 6 boards, 2 assists in 33 minutes. J-Dub was everywhere. This was everything you've wanted to see from J-Dub this season. He was all over the floor. He was aggressive. He had a ridiculous dunk, an NBA Jam-esque dunk, I think I called it on the Twitter feed tonight. He went up cutting baseline, kind of double clutched. I don't know, like literally the laws of physics might have been defied, but he put that ball in the basket. It was incredible. He was doing J-Dub things all night long. Jacob also mentioned in our group chat, you know, probably one of his favorite plays of the night. He had a little righty off the dribble bounce pass to Oos off the pick and roll, just threaded the needle. His vision was impressive. His IQ was impressive. He had a lot of buckets where he was cutting to the basket off somebody else's drive, and he put himself in position to score. He was everywhere. what was really cool was down the stretch, Thunder had him handling the ball. He was bringing the ball up. He was initiating the offense. He didn't do it, you know, solely. I think they kind of shared those duties with SGA not playing tonight. Let a lot of the young guys get some opportunities to handle the ball. But pretty freaking cool for a rookie to get that opportunity on this team. And I think he absolutely made the most of it. It is very hard not to be irrationally excited about J-Dub's future after 22 games in the NBA. He hasn't even played 22 games, but 22 games this season is very, very impressive start to his NBA career for J-Dub. You had some national guys taking notice tonight. Keith Smith talking about how the Thunder have so many different guys that can create, that can initiate offense. Stinja37 right on cue in the chat called out the same thing. Nice to have 3 to 4 guys that can initiate the offense. That's what we've always talked about with this Thunder team, and kind of the mold that we've seen Sam Presti going after is guys with high basketball IQ, with a variety of skills. It's not a bunch of specialists. It's not one superstar surrounded by role players. It is a group of players that can be fluid, that can play multiple positions, that can have different roles on the team. And in a night where you don't have arguably this team's superstar, probably not arguably, but when SGA is not playing, you have to rely on everybody. You got to get contributions from everybody, but you also need somebody to step up. And tonight, J-Dub absolutely took that torch and stepped up and made the most of his opportunity. Incredibly fun to watch. Go watch the highlights if you missed it. He's a special player, and I'm very excited to continue to watch his growth in OKC. Another player with a great night, taking the most of his opportunity. Takeaway number 3, Trigger Trey. Trey Mann, not had a great year. Not a surprise, right? We've talked about this. Everybody's talked about it. Heck, Mark Daigneault got asked about it pregame. Got asked about Trey's shooting struggles. He praised Trey, saying he's not letting it affect his work ethic. The ball's not going in the basket, which is frustrating. That's hard to play through. That's not enjoyable. But Trey is still putting in the work. He's still doing the little things. He's eating his broccoli. My words, not Mark's. He's doing the things he needs to do. And tonight, we got a little glimmer. We got a little flash of the Trey man we know and love. 16 points for Trey tonight, off 7 of 13 from the floor, 2 of 5 from behind the arc. 3 boards, 1 assist, 2 steals. Felt like the Trey man I expected to see more this season. Shots were falling. Creation was happening. Even the, you know, some of his playmaking, some of his defense too, like he felt locked in on both ends of the floor tonight, which is always nice to see from Trey. Really nice to see him kind of find his groove again. He had a 3 standing on the Paycom logo, which was awesome. Way downtown. Really nice game from Trey Mann. And I think Daigneault hit it on the head before the game. I don't know that he anticipated Trey Mann having a game tonight like he did, but it's all about continuing to put in the work. These guys are so young. And if you've been anywhere around Thunder Twitter in the last week, you know there's been some discourse around Josh Giddey. But like, this whole team is so young. It's irrational to bail on anybody yet. Like, really, anybody on this roster, all of these young guys, they're still being explored. They're still developing. They're still figuring out like what their role could be and what their ceiling could be and what their skill set is. They're finding their place, and that takes time. I think if you've watched Poku this season, you've been rewarded for patience. He's been very up and down, very inconsistent through his time in the NBA. Feels like he's starting to gel a little bit, and he's still one of the youngest players in the NBA. You look at Giddey, you look at Trey Mann, guys that are in their second seasons, you've got to be patient. That's not a lot of game time. It's not a lot of time. They have so much runway ahead of them. They have so much time before they're anywhere close to a finished product. And the Thunder have so much time to continue to develop them, get them into their system, use that coaching and development staff that has become so well-renowned in the NBA to continue to turn these guys into what they want them to be for this Thunder team of the future. They're going to continue to bring guys in. They have enough draft picks to do so, but it's too early to make the call on anybody. And a game like tonight is really nice to see from Trey. I hope it continues. I hope it is a trend. I hope he starts to find his groove again. I was very, very, very high on Trey in the offseason coming into this season. He's not matched where my heart was, but that doesn't mean that he's, not where he's supposed to be. Still plenty of time. He's going to have ups and downs. He's young, super young. Makes me feel extremely old talking about this team, but he's got so much time to develop, and tonight was a great bounce back game for Trey Mann. Takeaway number four is next man up. This is my catch-all bucket because really, when you look around the stat sheet, everybody contributed tonight. Every single player scored. Shout out Baisley for hitting that one free throw so that I didn't have to leave you out. Every Thunder player scored tonight. Everyone was contributing. And when you're losing someone like SGA, not available tonight, you need everybody to step up. Obviously, J-Dub really kind of took that torch, but everybody played a role in that. You had Trey Mann, like I mentioned, with 16 points, Josh Giddey with 14 points, Lou Dort with 23 points. All great contributions to this team. Dort, very aggressive, sometimes too aggressive tonight, definitely finds a way to insert himself at critical moments of the game on both ends of the floor. He had an incredible block tonight. So used to seeing Dort like take charges and make that kind of defensive play. He got up tonight and blocked his old pal, Isaiah Roby. Pretty awesome block. Started a fast break. I think Oos finished the dunk on the other end. But what we've come to expect from Dort, right?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Kenny Hustle was making stuff happen, as Kenny Hustle does. He had 7 boards and 10 points tonight. Just Kenny Hustle stuff. Like, what else do you expect? But the guy I want to spend a little extra time on, Usman Jang. We talked about J-Dub, but what about Oos, his fellow lottery pick from this year's draft? Oos had a very sneaky good game. And I think if not for J-Dub's explosion tonight, we'd probably be raving about Oos's performance. 10 points tonight, 5 of 6 from the floor, 7 boards, 1 assist. Oos was getting things done. He had 2 back-to-back dunks at one point in the game, kind of during that Thunder third quarter, which should be trademarked Thunder third quarters. They continue to outpace the league in third quarters this season. But he looked really, really nice. His fluidity and agility and smoothness with and without the ball continues to be really impressive to me. But the aggressiveness stood out tonight. Like I mentioned, those two dunks, but it felt like he was attacking. He was getting inside. He didn't look as timid as he did, like thinking back to summer league and preseason. He looks like he's starting to be a little bit more comfortable getting in the lane and doing some of the dirty work, banging with the big boys in the NBA. It's another thing, just like J-Dub. It's hard to temper expectations a little bit with Oos, because I think what we've seen so far is really exciting. His potential is off the charts. And I mean, we should have known that given how long it was reported that Sam Presti has kind of had his eye on Usman Jang. It was just hard, you know, with the tape available to really know what you were getting. But I think he's starting to develop and get, it feels like things are slowing down for him. He's getting more comfortable. And a game like tonight was a really, really positive sign for Oos. It's this whole like group of rookies that Oklahoma City has, and just young guys in general, like first and second year players. It's really fun, really fun. And that was on full display tonight. Really, really encouraging performances across the board. Yes, I know it was the Spurs. The Spurs are pretty awful this season, but you could tell from the crowd, like inside the Paycom Center, this team was having a good time. The fans were having a good time. I was having a good time at home. I think everybody was having a good time. And I think it goes to show that like development doesn't have to suck. I think it's been used as a euphemism, you know, over the tanking years of, you know, it's all about development. Like that's what we're really excited about. But like games like tonight show the fun side of development, right? You get in a bad situation. They have a really fun comeback with some great third and fourth quarters. Really fun basketball. The ball was moving. A lot of activity, fluidity on offense. Didn't feel stagnant. It didn't feel like the, you know, pickup game style offense that you sometimes see, especially with young teams. Cough, cough, Houston Rockets. This team was clicking, and I think that's really exciting for the future of the Thunder. Number five on our takeaways, our final takeaway tonight, the Baisley effect. I mentioned it earlier, Darius Baisley, the only healthy player not to play in the first half tonight. As I mentioned, Oklahoma City was down by 17 after the first half. To start the second half, OKC does not start Poku, and then we pretty quickly get Darius Baisley off the bench. And I feel like pretty much immediately his defensive presence was felt. Baisley, arguably one of the better defenders, especially on-ball defenders on this team this season. And after watching every other Thunder player elect not to play defense in the first half, it kind of made you wonder, like, what's going on with Bays? Is he hurt and we just didn't know it? Why is he not playing? Regardless of the reason, he gets into the game, ends up playing 14 minutes tonight, all in the second half, and has a very positive impact. I know single game plus minus, not a great indicator usually. However, plus 14 tonight for Bays. And I think that's pretty indicative. Like, obviously, a lot of that came with a lot of other things happening in the second half, but you cannot ignore the defensive presence that he brought. It's not a flashy stat sheet, 1.3 rebounds, one block, right? Not a lot to write home about, but he did make an impact. He did make an impact on the defensive end of the floor. Offensive end of the floor still leaves things to be desired. But Darius Baisley has evolved on the defensive end of the floor really nicely. And I think tonight that was very obvious. When he came in the game, he not only had great one-on-one defense, but he elevated everybody else. There was a play where he, I forget who was driving, might have been Keldon Johnson. He kind of redirected Keldon Johnson, who in the first half probably would have just waltzed in for a layup. Baze gets in front of him, funnels him over to Poku's side of the basket, and Poku swats the ball that may or may not have been a pass. But that kind of defensive activity was not happening from anybody in the first half. His presence on the floor was felt. However you feel about him, however probably some of my other hosts on this podcast feel about him. It's interesting, but I think you cannot ignore what he brought to the game tonight. It's really interesting to look at his minutes distribution. You know, obviously tonight I mentioned he ended up playing 14 minutes tonight. None of those in the first half. Last game against NOLA, he only played 6 minutes. The game before that in Houston, 11 minutes. Definitely not not the same amount of rotation burn for Baze as what we saw through the beginning of the season, where he was routinely up around, you know, 18, 19, 20. That seemed to be kind of the consistent space for Baze. But over the last three games, small sample size, over the last three games, definitely not getting the same amount of burn. I know Daigneault has mentioned multiple times that, like, they're going to change things up. The rotations aren't always going to look the same. I get that. But I think it's something to keep an eye on. I think it's very interesting with Darius Bazley and kind of how he fits on this team and what his role could look like moving forward. Player of the game tonight, obviously, J-Dub. You can't pick anybody else. Another post-game interview shower on court for J-Dub. Super fun. Every time that happens, which it feels like it's happened quite a bit for this Thunder team, but, like, it's so much fun. It's one of the things I love most about this young team is that kind of camaraderie atmosphere. Like, guy has a big game, and it's happened to a bunch of different guys. You know, we've seen it happen to Shea. We had J-Dub. I feel like Poku got one earlier this year. Maybe not. But every time it happens, it's super fun. I love watching this team gel and that have that chemistry and camaraderie. It makes them really, really fun to watch. I wanted to hit a couple stats that came from Thunder PR tonight. The Thunder recorded a league-leading fourth 15-point comeback tonight. Going back to last season, OKC has 12 15-point comebacks, which is also the most in the NBA. Third quarter Thunder is a real thing. Trademark that now. This team, I don't know if they're drinking Michael's Secret stuff at halftime. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's happening at halftime, but they come out swinging. It'd be great if they could just, like, do that from the beginning of the game and not wait till the third quarter. But hey, comebacks are fun too. They keep the people interested. Oklahoma City now has won two of their last seven games, but also two of their last four. So depending on how you look at things, glass half full, glass half empty, this team has played mostly competitive basketball. The game in Houston, maybe not so much, but a lot of their games this season have been competitive. They've been in it. This team is fun. They're learning a lot, and I think we're getting to see them grow and develop. Are they a playoff caliber team? I don't think so. The last time I said that, I got flamed because they were on a four-game winning streak. But now that they are not on a four-game winning streak, I'm sticking with it. Maybe others have come to join me on that. I don't know. It's an up and down season. It's a long season. You're going to have streaks of wins. You're going to have streaks of losses. You're going to have injuries at some point. Someone's going to get hurt and miss a bunch of games. It's just part of the NBA season. And I think this team will continue to have growing pains, but they're going to continue to have really fun nights like tonight. Upcoming schedule, probably primed for some more growing pains. Saturday, they play at Minnesota. Speaking of growing pains, man, remember when people thought Minnesota were going to be good? Monday at Atlanta, Wednesday at Memphis, Saturday, the next Saturday at Cleveland, before finishing off their road trip at Dallas on Monday, December 12th, a game that I will be in attendance at. A long, arduous road trip tonight, kind of a lone pit stop at home in the midst of this long stretch of road games. It's going to be a bit of a test for this team. Atlanta, Memphis, Cleveland, Dallas, those are all going to be really tough challenges on the road for this Oklahoma City team. We'll get to see what they can do. We'll get to see what the young guys can do. Hopefully get to see what Shea can do. because while he didn't play tonight, that man is playing like an all-star. I think it was Charles Barkley said he should be starting the all-star game. Let's start the hype train now. SGA, ASG, let's do this thing. Lots of things to be excited about if you're a Thunder fan, including tonight's 119-111 comeback victory. If you're listening in podcast form, thank you so much. Jacob tweeted this out, but we had our best month ever last month. Not bad for the black eye of the NBA, if you ask me. Thank you guys so much for supporting us. It's super.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.